Well, good evening, Harvest family. Let's move on in, have a seat, and we'll get started tonight. Pray for Brother Mike Cherry. He went home today from work with a migraine, so young Mr. Cherry will fill in. So y'all sing out really good for him. So tonight, as he stands in for Dad and leads the music, I appreciate his willingness to do that. Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Looking forward. It's so nice that we're having some milder weather, so, but the heat is coming. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and we'll begin our evening midweek service and prayer time. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for a nice, comfortable building, padded seats to sit in as we come together to worship and study your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to put away the cares and concerns of the world, enjoy some time of fellowship and worship together, and some time in your word. Lord, we do love you, and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. In the near future. Father, again, we just thank you so much for the privilege of prayer and the opportunity to lift one another up. And now, Lord, I pray that you bless our time as we transition to your word and study tonight. May we glean and be challenged from the scriptures, and we'll be careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell young Wyatt that Father Cook is praying for him. And oh, he wasn't quite me when they visited, but we tease each other back and forth once in a while. But he's a fine young man. He's continuing to pray for him. Our Bibles tonight will be, of course, in the book of Proverbs again, but we'll be reading Proverbs 12 here in just a moment, Proverbs 12:11. We'll give you a chance to turn there. We'll continue with Proverbs on achievement and failure. And I think we would all agree tonight at our ages here tonight, we would agree that we have all had opportunities for both achievement and failures in our life. And without a doubt, we hope to have other achievements in life without the failure in life, especially if we can learn from our mistakes or learn from someone else's mistake. But needless to say, they're there. So we began last week with conditions and concepts for achievement. Letter A, we talked about preparation leads to achievement. And then we're going to go through several things on preparation. Last week, we looked at complete priorities in the proper order. We looked at scripture for that. Have a compliant attitude as we strive toward achievement. And then we'll pick up with number three tonight, guard against confusion and chasing vanity. I think at one time or another, we've been confused about some choices that others may make, or maybe even ourselves, but also that aspect of chasing vanity. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth after vain persons is void of understanding." And we'll look a little closer at that word followeth in just a moment. And then Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 19, "He that tilleth with his hand shall have plenty of bread." See, the goal of achievement of being satisfied with bread comes from preparing or tilling the land. So without preparation, as we see here in Proverbs, without the tilling, there will be no crops, and the goal of caring for the family will not be met. We are reminded that preparation is hard work, and there's nothing wrong with hard work. I got a little chuckle with my conversation with DJ the other day and asking him about getting there and getting safely. He said, "Yeah, preacher, we got there, had to take the long route to get around the storm, but I got back in time to get a couple hours of work in before the day was over." I mean, that's all he was thinking about, getting there, getting to work, starting some things, and didn't get. And when I texted and reached out to him, he said, "I've just finished washing up to eat. I did make it back in time to unhook, set up, and go swing the hammer and do a few things before it got dark." And it does take hard work in life. Diligent work, not the get-rich-quick schemes, is a key to achieving income. I can remember some time ago meeting a college student and talking about preparing for the ministry and preparing to wanting to be a millionaire within 10 years. Sad to say, 10 years later, he's not in the ministry and he's not a millionaire. How do we plan? It does take hard work and it does take diligence to achieve. We find another insight about preparation here in our passage. Proper preparation involves not being distracted by worthless, empty fantasies or pursuits that waste time and money. I don't care. How does the saying go? You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. In other words, having our head in the sky, thinking about big dreams and skies and really not working those plans. You see, the get-rich-quick schemes like lotteries distract people from productive work or sift needed funds to help supply your needs or goals. These schemes create confusion and sometimes chaos in people's lives. And we hear about it all the time where people win the lottery, they're broke within a few years. You can't drive down Interstate 10 about how Arizonians has won $168 million over the last few months, but they don't tell you how many people lost by buying the ticket and not winning the lottery. Again, those schemes create confusion and sometimes chaos in people's lives. The person that does this lacks wisdom, they lack understanding, and they lack common sense. See, the elusiveness of worthless fantasies is seen here in the word followeth, and we'll go back there to Proverbs 11, as we mentioned earlier. He that tilleth with his hand shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. And this word here, in our Hebrew reference, the word followeth means to run after or to chase. And so often people chase empty dreams. They chase the quick get-rich schemes and other things as well. Vain pursuits are difficult to attain when a person does not prepare himself by planning and then working his plan. People that run after or chase after vanities never catch their empty dream goals. And again, I'm tempted the next time I see this young man that I talked to almost 10 years ago and ask him, well, how's the plan? Have we reworked it? Are we still wanting to be that millionaire in 10 years? 10 years has passed. What's the new plan? I hope his response is, as well as keep a good job and pay my bills, is what I hope to hear. But again, people that run after or chase after vanities never catch their empty dream or goals. Number three, guard against confusion and chasing vanity. Number four, commitment to execute plans. Again, another failure with many people that chase after those goals. There's no commitment to execute these plans. Again, in Proverbs chapter 21, in verse number 5, Proverbs 21, 5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. See, the plans or preparation of those who are diligent lead to achievement or prosperity. You know, when I think about this aspect of diligence and either following after hard and having a goal, I remember when I was in high school, and I will think of his name in just a minute. It just came to my mind when I read that verse. His junior year, sophomore year, he got cut from the football team. His junior year, he was there. He got very little playing time, but he wanted to play. He wanted to be a tailback. He worked hard at it. He didn't have the size. Maybe he didn't necessarily have the speed or the strength, but he was staying with it. And the next year, you know, I didn't see him. He was a senior. I'm only a measly junior. I didn't see him very much. He went to school, and he worked at Big Ed's Pizza just up the road. And then what I didn't know, that he went to school, he worked, and then he went over to the ball field stadium and ran up and down a hill that was about that steep every single night when he got off work from Big Ed's Pizza that was just across the street from the ball stadium. He ran that path every single night during off season. That time football season started, there was a path there, and everybody wondered, how did he get there? Because he got off work at midnight. So he went and worked out and ran, then went home, got in bed for a few hours, and went to school, and he worked, and his name was Perry. I knew it would come to me. And he worked, he got in the gym, and he ran. And when I saw him, when the football season started up again, he gained about 30 pounds. Needless to say, he was a starting tailback his senior year. But I said all that to say this: it took commitment and executing a plan and executing a goal and striving and working toward it when no one else was looking. Again, at midnight, after the pizza place closed and getting over to the field, and when everyone else was home, everyone else was in bed sleeping or at home studying, he was working. That commitment. The word diligent here, the plans or preparation for those who are diligent lead to achievement or prosperity. Now, this word diligent here from Proverbs 21:5, also, of course, being in the Old Testament Hebrew, which means to be sharp, diligent, or strict decision. Making concrete plans, holding on, and sticking to them. This word describes someone who is sharp, prepared, ready, or effective like a sharpened knife and acts decisively. See, when you make your preparations, put them into action if you want to achieve your goal. No matter what frame of life or stage of life that we're in, we need to still have goals to work to. We still want to still continue learning. If nothing else, let me share with you something that I read the other day that's motivating me even more in my studies. One of the biggest preventions waiting off dementia and Alzheimer's is learning something new. Learning, reading, studying, and preparation. And nothing else is wanting to keep our minds sharp as we continue through life. And as believers, we should always continue to strive to learn. Again, when you make your preparations, put them into action if you're going and desire or want to achieve your goal. If you have ever competed in sports or any type of competition at all, you have heard the phrase, you play like you practice. You sing like you practice. You also know that you can't win if you don't compete. You can't play if you don't get on the field. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And here's what I'm going to focus on. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is the race that is set before us? And that is to continue to live out our Christian faith. What is the goals that are set before me? What are some things I want to achieve in a godly sense for my Lord that is set before me? What are the opportunities I have to run this spiritual race? Beloved, be decisive and work your plans or run your race. I believe we all, if we talk to the Lord, we're in our Bible and we have a prayer life. We know that God can direct us in setting our goals. Maybe our goal might be to reach one of our neighbors. Maybe one of the goals that God has given us, spiritual goals, might be to encourage and reach one of our someone that we see regularly in the community, whether it be that waitress or whether it be someone at the Walmart or the Fry's or wherever it may be. I'm doing my best. Don't go out to eat a whole lot, but when we do and we repeat in some restaurants, so I'm getting to where I like to ask for a server, the same one if I had before, especially if they're a good server, and to try to get to know them a little more, ask them how they were since the last time we saw them. Sometimes I go in and ask, when they get ready to be seated, I'll ask for the meanest, nastiest waitress or waiter that you have. And of course they say, we don't have any of those. And then so when we get our waitress or waiter, I said, I just want you to know that we asked for the meanest and nastiest waitress that they had, and we got you. That's a good conversation starter. But again, have that aspect again of, you know what, I'm going to show myself friendly, I'm going to make some goals, I'm going to try to make a difference in someone's life. Do the best you can, and you will be amazed of what you can achieve when you start running for the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind when Perry started running that hill, I wonder how many nights during that first week that he got halfway up his fifth trip that he said, I'm just too tired for this. I just don't know that I want to do it. And it was Blankenship Field, the high school field where the high school played their home games on in the local junior high. And again, that summer, when the summer was over and the football season started, every Thursday night we would go over to practice on the stadium field and no pads, just a helmet. And I remember the first time going out there and seeing that path, another seeing and asking, Coach, what happened to the field over there? Coach didn't even know. Later on, word got around, conversation began again, and people found out because someone decided, I wonder if they're still running. I wonder if they're still running. So someone set a goal to go out there and wait to find out who was running up that hill, and they found out. My first thoughts were, well, did you just go ahead and run up and down the hill while you're waiting? But do we have goals? Do we have things that we want to achieve? Is there a pattern somewhere that shows that we've been working to achieve those goals in our life? Complete priorities in proper order. Have a compliant attitude. Guard against confusion and chasing vanity. Commitment to executing your plan. And number 5, preparation gives confidence. Man, how am I going to do it? Well, sit down and make a plan and let that plan give you confidence that you can carry it out. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. See, those who are wise and prudent know where they are heading. See, why do they know where they're heading? Because they analyze the situation and think matters through. I can remember my dad, always the teacher, but always learning, and going on a job site. And I remember he got his first big contract when he started his side business to help pay for mom's chemo back then when insurance wouldn't cover it. And he got put in a bid, and he got this job for this new huge apartment complex that's going to be built. And I can remember coming home and saying, man, I got to hire some people. He wasn't sure if he would get it or not, but he can't afford to hire someone on the hope that he would get it. A couple of the guys that he worked with, Brother Larry and Red Littleton, found out about Dad doing this and Mom getting the chemo, and they volunteered just to help him. They made big money at the plant, willing to pay, hey, just whatever you pay with the job, we'll take it. We just want to help you. And I can remember one of the first nights out on the job, Dad getting out the blueprints and planning out and talking to Larry and talking to Frank Littleton about the plan and trying to decide, okay, which one of you want to take this building? Because they already framed in two buildings, and it was their first night out there. So they had to get ready, get the drawing, start running the ductwork, and they laid out a plan. They thought the matters through, came up with a plan, and executed it. In fact, it did so well that that builder hired Dad for every project that went on going forward through the business there in our city. Next, not only analyze the situation and think it through, but their plans give them direction and confidence. Having a plan, you know, you either have a plan or you plan to fail. The wise rely upon the Lord for direction. Do we pray about our preparation, the things that we want to achieve? Is it the Lord directed through prayer in our time in his word? And then God is a source of confidence and calm. Even when we get stressed, we get a little bit overwhelmed, it's the confidence we can gain through our relationship with the Lord. So analyze the situation. Make sure you plan and get direction and confidence. The wise rely upon the Lord for direction, and God is a source of confidence and calm in our life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So this question's for guys, because I don't think little girls necessarily did this. Some little girls did, so don't take me wrong. Guys, do you remember as a kid growing up, did you ever lie down and want to be careful, especially with the red ants, but with the black ants, and just watch them work? Isn't it amazing to see how they go to and from? You can't tell who's in charge. You can't never tell who's the leader because they're going so fast in and out of that hole there, that the mounds they got set up, but they're working. So there are several important elements in this verse about the ant. So in this section, we're going to focus on the preparation of the ants, and we will address some other elements a little bit later in the verses. The lazy person is to consider the wisdom of the ant. The ant, without anyone telling him what to do, prepares for the future, prepares for winters by gathering food in the summer. Now, the lazy, we know, does not prepare. Now, I did a quick internet AI search that provided some very interesting information about the ant and how it is an excellent worker. Here we go. The ant's entire life can range up to 7 years, total lifespan, and is spent working. No retirement, no weekends, no Sabbath. They gather food, bring it back to the nest, and use it for day-to-day meals as well as to store. The amazing insect can be proficient horticulturalist. Some species gather bits of grass or leaves and take them back to their nest. I saw this, I never knew why, but now I do. To be used much like fertilizer. They place tiny mushroom spores and grow them for food. Ants are also like dairy farmers. Thought of you, Brother John, when I read that. Some ants get the majority of their food by milking plant lice, which are often known as ant cows. This is from John Steeling from Purdue University, ant or entomologist. Solomon said that the Aunt provides her meat in the summer. Doing this research, getting the idea of all that goes into the preparation, doesn't it make it look like sometimes that maybe we're a little lazy? We don't have to prepare the convenience. Most of you, some of you know this, some of you do not. Some of you grew up with a preparation like the aunt, with canning, preserving, freezing. In fact, when we were on the mission field, if Michelle didn't can and freeze, we went hungry in the winter. It's just the way it was because nothing was available. And then today, in some aspects, because we don't have to do that, are we using the other time that we have wisely in preparation and planning for spiritual things as well? The word provideth here in our verse that we looked at in reference to our friend the ant is from the Hebrew word okun or kwan. It means to be fixed or stable, steadfast, to prepare, to be ready, to be settled. So provideth. When you think about it, preparation requires all of these elements to be fixed upon it, to be stable, to be steadfast in your preparation. Being fixed on a goal or purpose helps us to be steadfast and not to quit in the preparation or process. Believe me, many a times in ministry, there's been times, and not just me, but in churches and pastors and missionaries, it can be discouraging. I remember reading a biography of Edwin Judson. Can you imagine being in ministry for 7 years and not having a convert or a Christian? 7 years! No fruit for your labors, but you still continue to print material, study the language, do what you can. But after 7 years, the floodgates just opened up and multiple people came to know Christ because of the consistent preparation and achievements of staying with it. The importance of being ready or prepared is a motivation to finish our preparation. Are we prepared? Do we have a plan? When we are prepared, it gives us stability or confidence to do the task at hand. Again, the aspect and the idea of moving forward, having a plan, working the process. The importance, again, of being ready. When we are prepared, it gives us that stability. Preparation helps us to be settled emotionally as well because we have a plan. For example, giving a speech, a report, preaching, teaching is much easier when you're properly prepared than when you're not. As a preacher, as a teacher, when you have studied and dug out wonderful truths from God's word, it gives confidence and enthusiasm when you preach or teach. You can't wait to share it or share what you have found with the word. Now, I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I can imagine since Brother Mail has started teaching the men's Sunday school class, there are probably times he gets excited and runs to Cheryl and say, hey, let me share this with you before Sunday even gets there. Some of the quiet time that Michelle and I have at home having our coffee and devotions when we sit down for our second cup is the excitement of sharing something we learned that day in our devotions, something that we get excited about. Brother Mail. Yes, amen. It gets exciting. I tell you, I can wear out a highlighter. Let me tell you where I'm studying and marking and getting notes and marking them and transposing those into other areas. It gets exciting. It encourages me when we're sitting down for that second cup and Michelle says, I want to share something that I learned or I've never seen before in my Bibles I was studying this morning. I get excited. I'm ready to put everything down and listen because, hey, I might learn something too. In fact, there's been times I told her, I'm going to use that. That's really good. You know, it get excited. And that's part of preparation and study as God provides as we get in and it helps us. Again, that aspect of getting excited, the enthusiasm and confidence. You just can't wait to share, as Mel said, what you have found in the Word of God. Paul stressed the importance of this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I read this last week. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God provides what we need if we get in the word. God provides what we need spiritually. He helps us in our preparation, our achievement, when we include him in our plans. So we are examining conditions and concepts for achieving or reaching goals here in the book of Proverbs. This first one that we examined was preparation. And now next week we'll focus on opportunities that should not be wasted. Let's be honest before we close tonight. How many of you would say through the years there's opportunities that you had that you wasted or lost because you didn't take advantage of it? And so often it is, and it's sometimes looking for an opportunity. All right, we'll close there for tonight and get ready to close our service tonight. I trust it was an encouragement, a reminder, a blessing. Let's really strive to do what we can in our failure part, you know, some weeks down the road, but now this achievement. Let's strive to say, Lord, if you haven't already, Lord, outside of achieving and learning something in the scripture, Lord, outside of achieving things in my prayer life, Lord, help me to achieve some spiritual goals in ministering to someone. I want to make it a goal to be a blessing and encouragement to 3 people, 5 people over the next year, 3 people, 2 people this month. Lord, help me to achieve that goal of being a blessing, being an encouragement, and Lord, help me to be a source of planting the gospel in someone's life or getting them here under the gospel that they might come to know Christ. Those are spiritual goals that we should have as believers. And if we're going to reach those goals, we've got to prepare and make plans to achieve those goals. Let's pray. Lord, we are, again, so grateful for the privilege of being here tonight. Pray that you'd help us as we have studied and look in the book of Proverbs, a reference to achievement, reading through Proverbs tonight about on the ants and the diligence and preparation. Lord, help us to be the same way in our personal walk in life, to set some goals, strive to achieve them, make a plan, and work them diligently as we trust and lean upon you to direct our paths in reaching those goals. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love tonight. Bless our time of fellowship. May you be uplifted and glorified in the things that we do and say this week. And, Father, help us, again, as a church family, to look for an opportunity to be a blessing or a source of encouragement to those that we meet and see as we go through our week. And now, Father, also help us to prepare our hearts and our minds for the services come Sunday. Lord, help us, Lord, to prepare and come ready to worship, ready to serve, ready to be blessed. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask.